Well, the weather hasn't been so hot for snowshoeing yet here in Wisconsin, but it's certainly been great for canoeing and kayaking so far this fall. Darren Bush, owner of Rutabaga of Madison, it's the world's largest paddle sports shop. It's located in Madison, as I said, and certainly he comes by every so often to talk with us about what's going on in the world of canoeing and kayaking, and we'll even talk snowshoeing with him today as well. And invite your questions and comments as we move along here. If you're in the area where you can call by phone, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Darren Bush, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Been a good fall for canoeing and kayaking.
It's been a really interesting fall. We've had some beautiful times. Went on a paddle trip in early October on the Wisconsin River, and it was probably the coldest night we've had this year yet. It was below freezing. We were expecting, 40s, and we got 25, and our water bottles froze, and quite an adventure. But then the end of October, we went on a paddling trip on the Kickapoo River, and it was like 60 degrees and sunny. And it's been kind of weird, but I've certainly enjoyed being on the water.
Yeah, 50 degrees this last week. It's just absolutely, ooh.
There's something wrong about all this. I'm not sure what it is yet, but...
Well, I guess I would have to agree with you on that. What are you recommending for those who want to get out with the canoes and kayaks for places to go this fall?
Oh, there's so many good places to go. We've got so many navigable miles of rivers and streams and, of course, lakes. It's actually a good time of year to paddle if you've got the right clothing, if you've got either a dry suit or neoprene. So if you go in, you're going to be safe because the water's pretty cool right now. But it's flat. It's not that windy. There's no bugs and there's no people. So something like the Horicon Marsh would be nice right now. With the leaves down, you get more views around some of the smaller rivers like the Sugar and the Kickapoo and such.
Are there good places to put in there?
Oh, there's always, well, not always. There's places to put in. Most of the smaller rivers in this part of the state in the Southwest have established put-ins of, the ones of any size. Some of them, if you want to paddle, you got to check water levels. They're dependent on rainfall. Some are spring fed and run pretty much year round. One place we kind of tend to go down for quick half day trips is the Badfish down south of Stoughton, about 10 miles.
Yeah.
And that part of the reason that runs is because it's part of the effluent from the Madison sewage treatment. But the water is actually really clean because it's just been scrubbed, and it's a little warmer. It doesn't freeze. There's a little bit of white water on there, so it's not really a super beginner-friendly trip, but it's a nice float.
And what about snowshoeing? Even though we don't have any snow out, I want to mention that it's a great sport. Get out there on the snowshoes.
It is great. It's one of those things where we've talked about this before. I'm an avid cross-country skier, but I like snowshoeing better because I'm also a photographer. And trying to take a picture of something when you're on skis, as soon as you pick your hands up to your face and take a picture, you start sliding. And it's a different aesthetic, especially as skiing becomes more about speed. And I've seen that over the last 20-25 years.
Yeah, it does seem people seem to be in a bigger hurry when they're out there on those skis anymore. Not me.
Not me either.
My wife is like that. She we have a 6-year-old at home. So,
oh my gosh.
Usually, what happens when when we go cross country skiing, Emily, the daughter, and I, we go together, and Mom takes off on her own.
Right. Yeah. There's different pacing. Certainly. Did you ever pull around in a sled? Did you do that when she was younger?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always a great. I mean, it's a family activity, even if they're young, because you can get them out, and they like to slide around behind you. It's fun.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Darren Bush, our guest from Rutabaga of Madison. Glad to have him with us as we talk fall canoeing and kayaking and even getting into the winter snowshoeing and maybe a little bit of cross-country skiing as well. Give us a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Think about snowshoes for just a minute. The snowshoes go way back, don't they? I mean,
I don't think that. I think they go back beyond written history. I mean, somebody figured out a long time ago that surface area helps you float on top of the snow rather than sink. And the designs, for the most part, haven't changed in, I don't know, hundreds, maybe thousands of years. The ones that I build tend to be more Cree style or Ojibwe style for around here. They're really good for moving through prairies where you have to go through the grass. It'll split the grass side to side, kind of like the bow of a ship, and not trample things down. And they track a little bit better, too. But there's all sorts of different kinds and shapes for the different kinds of tasks.
And you've made lots of them.
I don't know how many pairs I've made. a lot. It's a meditative activity. And at the end, you get something cool. So I don't know. I enjoy them.
Well, you know, here's me. I'm not at all like you in that regard. And I've got tubs. Our snowshoes are sort of what do you call the modern style?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
A little bit. So.
Yeah, modern snowshoes. There's a place for everything. Mm-hmm. I was out in Utah last January for the retail trade show where we go to look at the product for the next year, and I ran into a gentleman who had a new snowshoe company, new to me, called Crescent Moon, and they're out of Boulder, and very unique shoes. They're made in the States, which is kind of rare for anything these days.
Mm-hmm.
They're all wind-powered. They recycle 95% of their manufacturing stuff. It's they just won an award for their binding. If I had traditional shoes on in the setting I used those in, I would have been sliding down the hill because it was, they call it dust over crust, you know, mm-hmm. it was frozen and thawed, and then there was a little bit of snow on top of it, and it was very slippery. But the more modern shoes have, essentially crampons built into the bottom so you don't slide.
Yeah, and that makes it great for just about anybody. You know, it's the thing I like the best, I think, about snowshoes is that you don't really... There's not a big learning curve for snowshoes.
Yeah, you have to put them on, and then you have to walk. Right, and it's a two-pronged approach to learning how to snowshoe. Yeah,
yeah, and even our 6-year-old is put them on and gets along just fine on them.
They're, you know, it's anybody can do it. It's like 4-wheel drive for your feet. You know, if you're a walker and you like to walk, why not walk in the winter, just throw on an extra sweater and, you know, go on one of the bike paths or, trails that you normally would go on as a hiker.
Let's talk, you were saying that you were at a new product show. Let's talk about canoes and kayaks a little bit and what we're seeing out there in the way of new things in that area.
It's really an interesting time, to be in this industry. There's a lot of changes, there's some material changes that are coming down the road. The normal materials that they use to make boats are becoming either more expensive because of cost of oil or just aren't that environmentally friendly anymore. And it's really contrary to our business to produce a material or produce a boat that's made out of a material that isn't environmentally friendly. So we're seeing a lot of changes, experimentation. There's some stuff I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. new product. It's very exciting. And weight is coming down, too, which is nice.
Yeah, I'm wondering about weight because that's always been sort of a limiting factor for a lot of people.
Well, I think it's the most important factor to limiting people's use of kayaks or canoes is how much they weigh. And the second thing is how comfortable they are. If you can get a boat that you can lift and that's comfortable, you're gonna get out more. It's like any other sport. If it's a burden, then you're not going to do it as much.
Yeah. As I look out, living on Lake Monona, I have a chance to look out on the lake. I'm still seeing some people out there, and it's great to see.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful time to paddle. I actually like it in some ways better because, from an exercise perspective, if you try and exercise in the summer, you get overheated really fast. But you can go out now and, you know, basically paddle for half an hour, 45 minutes and not even really break a sweat.
We'll take some calls now. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And we'll turn to Dennis in Sussex. Dennis, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. You touched on this just a little bit, but I was wondering if you could expand on it. One thing I don't have for my kayaking equipment is any kind of like dry suit or neoprene, and I was wondering what the minimum is you would need to say, go on a lake at this time of year, or if you wanted to do Lake Superior in the summer, do you need a full top and bottom, or can you just get by with a good dry suit top? Not dry suit top, but a wind top, like.
That's a really good question. Basically, you need to dress for the likelihood of immersion and how long you might be in the water. So if you're paddling with friends who have some facility in rescues, getting you back in your boat quickly, you can wear a slightly less protective layer of clothing. So that's the case. For Lake Superior, you know, the water's not really warm there, and
no,
it never really is.
It never is.
So 45 degrees in August is not uncommon. So for that, I recommend to keep the cost down, neoprene's great. You can wear a neoprene like a Farmer John, which is kind of like a long john. You can wear some fleece with that, and then maybe a paddle jacket or just something over the top it's not waterproof. A dry top by itself won't keep you dry if you go in the water. If you stay in your boat and do an Eskimo roll, then you'll stay dry, but there's no gasket really around your waist that would keep the water out.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Are there particular brands that you recommend in this area?
You know, for neoprene, what you don't want to do is get a brand that is designed for diving. If you already have one for diving, they're too thick. They don't allow for the mobility and the freedom of movement you need. There's a product called HydroSkin from a company called NRS, Northwest River Supply, out in Idaho. They're probably one of the biggest suppliers of paddling neoprene in the country. It's very, very good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And what is it? What's a price range on something like that?
Farmer John's around $100, $110,
okay,
something
so
like that.
Okay, so not so bad.
Yeah, I actually prefer separates just because it's a little more convenient. So I'll get pants and then like shorts, neoprene mm-hmm. shorts, and then a long sleeve and a short sleeve top, and I can kind of mix and match depending on the conditions.
All right. Thanks again, Dennis. Appreciate your call. Darren Bush, owner of Rutabaga, the world's largest paddle sports shop located in Madison. He's with us right up until 12:30 today. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking fall canoeing and kayaking, and also we're slipping into winter a little bit with snowshoeing and cross-country skiing. Our guest today, Darren Bush, owner of Rutabaga, the world's largest paddle sports shop located in Madison. Glad to have him along. Website, rutabaga.com, isn't it?
It is, yep.
Rutabaga.com. You can go there and find out all kinds of things. Dick in Waukesha has been waiting. By the way, if you want to join in, let me give that number before we go to Dick. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call or email us at talk@wpr.org. And let's turn to Dick now in Waukesha. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Larry and Darren. Darren, I have a question. I have an antique white canoe. I bought it at the Forest Service auction in Ely, Minnesota in 1950. And it needs work. But I wonder if there's any place, do you buy such things, or do you know where they have auctions where people can auction off such equipment? I think it would, somebody who's skilled could put it back in really good condition and he'd have a gem.
I hope my wife isn't listening, but I'd love to have that boat. But I've got it's the 1986 Boat Non-Proliferation Marriage Retention Act, which means no net increase in boats. She's let that slide in recent years.
You did what?
Yeah. You've heard that before?
Oh, yeah. Man.
So, it depends what you want to do. I mean, they're not. It depends on the model. Some of them aren't worth very much. Old Towns tend to be worth less because there's just a lot more of them. Whites are slightly more valuable, I think, uh-huh. just because they're less common. There's a lot of different trim levels on those boats. Some of those were probably more calm sport utility boats for the Forest Service. They're probably built a little beefier, a little heavier, not quite as refined. But, depending on the kind of work it needs, sometimes the work is more expensive than the value of the boat. But
it has it needs canvas.
Okay.
And it has a crack in it had a crack in the gunwale when I bought it.
Okay.
And and it got some cracked ribs when I went over the dam and when it was high water, but not high enough in the Cedar River in Michigan, University of Michigan, no, Michigan State campus. And the guy in the front was a chicken. I told him to stay there. that it would dip and the water might come over the gunnels, but we would then it wouldn't sink. He came back and sat in my lap, and we were too much of a load.
You still friends?
A few ribs cracked, but I used it after that.
Yeah, you know, is there any rod in the boat at all?
Not that it's been hanging in my garage for 30 years, so.
If there's no rod in it, what happens a lot of times is they'll put them upside down outside, and the end caps and the stems and the ends of the gunnels will just rot. In that case, it's a little bit more tricky. It sounds like you've got a fairly straightforward repair rather than a sort of a restoration. So gunnels are easy to fix. You can replace them because they're just right there. Cracked ribs, depending on where it is, you can form a new rib using the old rib as kind of a template. And stick that back in. Since you're taking the canvas off, it makes it even easier because you can just basically re-nail the parts, and if there's any planks that are cracked, replace those. And re-canvassing isn't that difficult. It's actually kind of fun. It's the most progress you can see in a short period of time with a wood canvas boat. You can go from a naked boat to a canvas boat in a couple 3 hours, and then it's just a matter of doping it.
Yeah.
So, well, no, you get four or five guys together and you can do it.
You need a few guys to do it.
Yeah, but it's fun. And if you call me or email me, I can give you more information. There's a guy up in Boulder Junction who used to live down in Rockford. Dave Osborne is his name, and he does restorations, and he's quite reasonable and just a prince of a guy.
Okay.
Do I have a number, or can you give it to me off the...
You know, send me an email and I'll dig it up. It's Darren B, D-A-R-R-E-N, letter B, at rutabaga.com.
You have a phone number. I'm a dinosaur. I don't
run a
computer.
Oh, okay. 608.
608.
223.
223.
9300.
9300.
And just ask for me and then I'll figure this out. Okay. I don't know how to use a telephone anymore.
Thanks, Dick. Thanks a lot for calling. And Julie's emailed as a jogger runner looking to cross train on skis this winter. She's looking for snowshoes for running. What should she look for and how should she start as she would be new to snowshoeing?
That's actually another really good question because there is a lot of cross training. It's actually really easy on your joints because you got a little bit of cushion. It's kind of like running on a really cushy treadmill. Running snowshoes are not uncommon. There's snowshoe races. They have them at Badger State Games, and
I've watched a couple of races, and it's amazing how fast some of these people can go.
They could run faster on snowshoes than I could run without them. It's amazing. But they're smaller. The thing you want to look for is the right shape. You want them asymmetrical, so your feet are closer to the inside edge, so you don't bang your shoes together when you're running. But a running snowshoe is quite small. It may be 20, 22 inches long and maybe 6 or 7 inches wide, maybe 8 tops. But a good binding is super important. Make sure the binding fits on running shoes because you're probably going to want to run in those. We've got those.
Several companies making them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Crescent Moon makes nice ones. Atlas makes really nice ones. Those are the two that I'm most familiar with. Tubbs may as well.
Okay. Barbara in Oshkosh, on to you now. Hi, Barb.
Hi, gentlemen. A great show. I do every sport you're talking about.
Great.
Love it. My first question is concerning our kayaks. My husband and I always store them in the garage, and we hang them from our rafters because we have no other room in there. And I always think we miss some of the beginning of the season and some of the end of the season by the time we get them out and by the time we put them up there. You know, then we put them up there before it gets too cold. And I'm wondering, I've noticed some people just leaning their kayaks against, like, the sides of their garage outside. Is that all right to do that?
Sure. It depends on the direction your garage is facing. You want to keep them out of the sun. You want to protect them somehow. One thing I've seen more than once is people putting a canoe upside down on sawhorses next to their garage.
Oh.
They get a heavy snow load. The snow slides off and the canoe breaks in half.
Because
snow is heavy.
And
that's pretty beefy stuff. You can do that. You can do some racks and hang them. there's other options for inside. Do you put your car in your garage?
Yes.
Well, that's your first mistake.
We have two cars in our garage. That's why the kayak's hanging from the raft.
All right. Well, you got to have your priorities. Okay. There's a thing called a Harkin hoister, and it's made by Harkin up in help me, Larry, Harkin in Green Lake?
Green Lake.
Yeah. That is designed to raise and lower your kayak really, really easily. It's got a mechanical advantage of 4-to-1 or 5-to-1 in there. So it's easier to put it up and take it down. Mm. Maybe the problem is it's just hard to take up and down.
It is. I mean, it's they're heavy, you know.
Yeah.
If you can get, so you can pull 10 to 12 pounds on a piece of rope to lower your, raise your boat, that takes away the hard part there, and maybe you'd use it more.
Maybe you would, because I don't want to miss a day of kayaking.
God bless you. I agree.
Good for you.
And my second question is referring to cross-country skiing, which I also love to do. And I do a lot of babysitting with my granddaughter, who is 5. And she sees my skis all the time and is excited about it. Is she too small to begin cross-country skiing?
No.
Not at all.
Okay.
No, my daughter was cross-country skiing at 4.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, as if they're coordinated walking, they
She's
can
very
ski.
Very coordinated. She did everything early and does everything. And yes, she's extremely coordinated.
Yeah, no.
That's because I've been babysitting with her since she's been born, and I've been having her do everything.
Well, if you raise them like that, they don't know any better.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
Then they get old and think that that's normal. So,
Yeah, so go ahead.
All right. So she can join me now. Wonderful. Yep.
Yeah. And you should be able to find a really good deal on kids skis at someplace like Play It Again Sports, because that size of ski, kids grow out of them really fast.
Right.
So yeah, you can buy them for $30 or $40, and you can sell them for $30 or $40 2 years later.
Oh, okay. Oh, I never thought of Play It Again Sports. Oh, that's a good idea.
For kids stuff, it's great. Yeah.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Barb. Yvonne in Twin Lakes, your turn. Hi, Yvonne.
Good morning, Larry, and thanks for all your great shows. Once I turn the radio on, I get nothing done.
Thank you.
Mr. Bush, I'd like to talk to you about kayaking and canoeing and physical abilities. We've spent all our life on the water, in the water, down here in Twin Lakes. And for kayaks, it's what part of your body, like arms, legs, you need to be in shape for the most as compared to doing both those two things?
Boy, that's a really interesting question. The answer is really not much. Optimally, you've got a good strong core. That's where most of your power comes from. So a lot of yoga aficionados like paddling because it's the same kind of strength building. But we do have a program at Rutabaga for adaptive paddling, where we can put people in boats that have all sorts of disabilities. We had a woman this summer who had had a stroke and was an avid cyclist and lost the use of her legs. And she got in a boat and she said, wait a second, I don't have a disability anymore. It's like a wheelchair that floats. So it depends on the level of activity you expect. If you just want to get out and paddle around, boy, there's a woman who comes to the shop periodically. We store her boat there for her who's quadriplegic. And she has a paddle that's designed so she can grip it easily. She has limited grip, but she gets out there.
Well, I understand that when a person comes up to your store that you can go out on the lake and try different things.
Yeah, we're right on the water, and we actually prefer that, yeah.
Well, at the end of the show, or before you, could you give your address, your telephone number, and your hours? So I was hoping to come up sometime this fall. I go down to the lake and watch the every night, and I could just die because I can't get out onto the water.
Yeah.
And so I've got to get a kayak. And we used to have an old mahogany canoe, but those weighed a ton. Yeah.
They did.
I want something I could just put over my head and go out whenever I want.
So like 30, 35 pounds?
Well, that's what I have to come up and try.
Yeah, well. I mean, that's, like I said before, that's the most important thing is, can you even move it? If you can't move it, it doesn't matter if it's stable or comfortable or whatever. Yeah.
Do you have to have a rack on top of your car when you purchase one to get it back to wherever you're coming from?
No.
Do you sell those there?
We do, yeah. Okay. But, I mean, we can get a boat where you want to get it to go. Are you going to mostly leave it at your place?
Yes, in Twin Lakes.
Okay, if that's the case, yeah, we can put it on your car with some foam blocks, and it's very inexpensive. For people who are moving their boats all the time, we recommend a roof rack because it's just easier. But for, you know, a one- or two-time move, foam works fine.
All right.
Okay. Well, please put your information of hours at the end of the program.
Yeah, or we can even do it right now.
Yeah, we're open right now. We're open 10 to 6, Monday through Wednesday. Starting next week will be 10 to 7 on Thursday and Friday. Right now we're still 10 to 6. 12 to 5 on Sunday and 10 to 5 on Saturday.
Okay. And your website, of course, people can go online. And
it's all on the website as well, rutabaga.com. But, I mean, feel free to call me. I like phone calls.
Madison, is that right?
In Madison, yes.
Madison, yeah.
Okay, and the address, please.
It's 220 West Broadway.
220 West Broadway.
It's the intersection of Minota Drive and Broadway. It's right there on the water.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Yvonne, for calling. Appreciate your call. And Tom in Steuben up next. Tom, hello to you.
Good morning. I was calling pertaining to snowshoes.
Okay.
I've got a pair of wooden tubs, 14 by 48s, and I've got the leather bindings on them. And I have difficulty with them. It just seems like you cannot get them quite tight enough. You're really doing a lot of work to get them tight enough, and they slip and you fall a lot on them. Is there something better?
Yes. The leather bindings, they're really pretty. But the leather gets wet and it stretches, and it's hard to get them tight. I use a binding it's a combination of leather and synthetic. It's kind of the best of both worlds, and they really grab on, hold onto your foot. And of course, I can't remember the model number of them at all. But I think three or four of my pairs have them on there. But if you call me, by the time you call me, I'll have the make and model number. And it's made by a company called Faber, F-A-B-E-R, out of Quebec. The guys, they know snowshoes up there.
Yeah, they do. And your number is 608-223-9300, right?
Yeah, and just ask for me, yeah.
All right.
Okay, so apparently you have them on hand there at the store.
Yep, we do.
Okay. That
right.
May be very good. I may be going through there next week anyway.
Great.
All okay. Right, Tom, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Gary in Elgin, Illinois. We're on to you now. Hi, Gary.
Hi there. Hey, what a great opportunity to talk to you about this subject. I love Wisconsin. I live down in Illinois and have to throw a kayak on top of the car to get up where life is scrubbed and beautiful. It's such a change when you cross that line north. And I just love going through Door County, Cave Point. There's so many wonderful spots that you discover in Wisconsin. You're located in Madison. I've been there, and I've been to Canucopia. Great, great show. Is there maybe a couple of places you could recommend that a person just go off to? There's some spectacular kayaking spots. I do kayak tent camping where I just go off in the car with a kayak on top, tent in the back. I also do sailing where I drag two kayaks behind a 22-foot Catalina sailboat, and they become the dinghy. And what a perfect way to explore with that way. So I would love some recommendation on some spots where you say, hey, you gotta see X, Y, or Z.
That's great. You know, it's funny. I was up at the Apostles with a friend who's got a big boat, and that's how he gets around now, is he tows a couple boats behind him. And I'm seeing that more and more, fewer and fewer dinghies and more kayaks, because when you get to, say, one of the islands with sea caves on it, with a dinghy, you really can't go into the sea caves. With a kayak, you can. So that's really cool. You do that. Spectacular is really defined by the person. I am one of these people that thinks you can find beauty anywhere. I mean, the Apostle Islands certainly are a great destination. If you haven't been up there, they're beautiful.
How about more intimate spots? Are there some things that somebody would pass by in a moment and not realize it's a jewel? Well, it's more the less obvious that I'm asking about, I guess.
I can't tell you that. Well, no, actually, so sea kayaking or
yes.
Just...
Or sea kayaking. I'm down in. I have a skirt for it. I
sure.
Can get into anything.
Have you been to Sleeping Bear Dunes over in
no,
Michigan?
No, I'm not.
That's
no,
kind of cool over there. It's a different kind of paddling. There's a lot of places on Lake Superior. Everybody talks about the Apostles, but the interesting thing is once you get in the Canada side, it's like we don't know anything about that. We cross
I
that
do.
Border
I toured the North Channel and dinghy kayak in there a bit.
Yeah, but you go. I mean, the Slate Islands are beautiful. If you go straight north from the Apostles up to Rossport, the Slates are fantastic. They're just gorgeous. The other place that's kind of cool is Lake Superior Provincial Park, which is actually about the same distance from here as the Boundary Waters. You just go up through the UP, through the Sioux, and go north about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And there's Michipicoten Island right up there as well. And it's spectacular and much less trafficked than our side of the lake.
All together, Lake Superior Peninsula Park.
Provincial Park, yeah.
Provincial.
Yeah.
Okay.
Old Woman Bay is, I don't know if you've heard of Bill Mason before, kind of the father of modern canoeing, the Canadian guy. He filmed a lot of his films up at Old Woman Bay, and it's spectacular.
Old Woman Bay. I'm writing these down as you say it. I'm not familiar with that gentleman, no, but I would love to get a book if he's got it. Or
it's actually, he's passed away quite a while ago, but he's got a couple of canoeing DVDs that are, he's kind of the standard for a long time. He's been doing that.
Could you repeat his name?
Bill Mason. And The Path of the Paddle and Song of the Paddle are the DVDs that he did. He's actually an award-winning filmmaker. He made the film Paddle to the Sea. If you remember that one.
I think I have.
Yeah, I saw it when I was in third grade or something like that. He won an Oscar nomination for it. So.
Wow, I'll look him up. I do appreciate this talking to you. You're absolutely right about the paraplegics and those who, you know, if you have a problem below the waist, there's nothing like a kayak for getting off and exploring. And it's one of the few things, I think, that adapt to that. Really quite a thing. Well, I'll see you at Cunucopia or some such place in the future.
It's 108 days, I think.
108 days to go. Thanks a lot, Gary, for calling. Appreciate it. Terry in Oshkosh, give you a chance. Hi, Terry.
Good morning. Thank you for your program.
Sure.
My question is any consideration for having baby Vegas, and I'm talking about outpost or satellite types of rutabagas, but on a smaller scale, so people could, you know, try out boats and have a limited retail outlet throughout the state.
You know, I don't think it hasn't crossed my mind. I would love to do that. I really would. It's a matter of how complex I want my life to be. And I really don't care that much about money. And I've heard you can make a lot of money if you did this. And it's like, I don't want to trade time for money. Someday, maybe, you know, maybe I could franchise it. I don't know. It's having a single location is pretty sweet. And yeah, I'll miss sales and stuff, but you know, it's well, you know, I think you understand where I'm coming from.
All right. Thanks for calling. And Pete in Ashland, on to you. Hi, Pete.
Hi. It's a really good program. I'm really impressed. I got a question about my girlfriend's young daughter as far as fitting her for cross-country skis. Also, that guy that called is looking for a romantic place to go to sail with his kayaks. Is Lake Ogeechee over to my Wakefield? Beautiful spot. I drag my boat over there all the time.
And where was it again?
Lake Ogeechee.
Oh, Ogeechee?
Yeah, it's like, it's right there in Wakefield.
Okay.
Yeah, just south of Wakefield. It's like 20 miles long and 2-3 miles wide, and 150 feet deep, and a perfect place for a sailboat.
What about kids and fitting kids for cross-country skis?
You know, it's all based on their weight. Mm-hmm. Basically, you need to have enough weight to push down the center of the ski to get that kick zone, applied to the snow so you get that push. Generally, I go shorter rather than longer because even if they drag a little bit, it's better than not being able to kick and they just slide around and get frustrated. I mean, the best way to do is go to a place where you can have somebody show you how to do it. Now, if you're at Play It Again and they can't help you, take a piece of paper, fold it in half, and slide it under the kick zone when the kid's standing on both skis. And if it slides in and out pretty easily, that's good. If they put weight on one leg and it sticks, then that's about the right size. That's kind of a rough and ready way of doing it.
Okay. There you have it. Thank you very much for calling. And Darren, boy, we're out of time. Thank you. Time
Thank
flew
you.
By again. And just remember to, if you want to take a look at Rutabaga and what's up, of course, located in Madison, and your website is?
Rutabaga.com.
Rutabaga.com. Look forward to your next visit.
We'll see you in December, maybe.
Thank you much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Darren Bush of Rutabaga of Madison. Great to have him along, and he'll be back and soon, and we'll do it again. taking a look at what's coming up tomorrow, Jim and Noel Cutright of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology and Bill Volkert of the DNR at Horicon Marsh will be the guests. I'll be off tomorrow, but Jim will be filling in for me with a look at birds. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.